1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse number 14. Before we dig into that, let's go ahead and look at the chart behind me and just examine this briefly again. We talked about the chart last week. It's the kings of Israel. Last week we talked about King Saul. King Saul reigned for 40 years. He began in 995 or about that time, B.C., and he reigned for 40 years. He was not a good king. Most of the time that he was king, he spent a lot of his time trying to kill David, who he knew was going to be the next king, and that he was troubled. God wasn't with him. God wasn't helping him. But then David comes along, and David becomes a king. And we're going to see how David was a good king, probably one of the best kings that Israel had, and we'll see how that works in and plays into everything else that is coming down here in the future. So that kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of where we're at here. But in 1 Samuel chapter 13, look at verse number 14. And it says, But now thy kingdom shall not continue. He's talking to Saul. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Very sobering words to King Saul as Samuel delivers them to Saul and said, the Lord has sought him out a man after his own heart. Those words are the phrase that we're going to focus our thoughts on here tonight. A man after God's own heart. And if you're not a man, a woman after God's own heart, the same thing can apply to both genders here. Now, David was the second king of Israel. He was the son of Jesse, and related to Boaz. You remember back in the book of Ruth, Ruth and Boaz and their son Obed, and then their his son Jesse, and now his son David. And so David is the last born son of Jesse, and he's about 30 years old when he ascended the throne, and he reigned for 40 years. And he was a good king, but far from perfect. David was not perfect. And that gives us encouragement too. You know, David committed two major sins. He committed adultery and he also committed murder. And when you look at that, you think, how could God call David a man after his own heart when David did that? And I think there's an answer to that. And a very important answer that each of us need to grasp here tonight. So I hope to be able to help us to see that this evening. And God said that it was God that said that he was a man after his own heart. Now, when we think about God, God is the only self-existent eternal being. And He is the creator of all that exists. And God wants us to treat Him as the creator and master of our lives. And God wants us to depend upon Him totally. You know, that's something we don't really, I think, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but we don't grasp that fully. God wants your dependence. And He wants my dependence on Him. He wants us to say, I need you. I need you all the time. I can't do it without you. And that's really what we talked about this morning in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's all about that very same thing. We need God. Even though we may think we don't need God, we need God. And so God wants us to depend upon Him totally. He wants us to respect Him fearfully. He wants us to love Him. He deserves our love. He deserves our praise, our thanks, our worship, and our loyalty. And I believe all of this is part of what God's heart is all about. When it says that He was a man after God's own heart, He was reflecting what God had in His heart. What did God have in His heart? God had in His heart that I am God, and because I am God, I deserve your loyalty, I deserve your worship, I deserve your praise, I deserve your thanks, I deserve your faithfulness and your love, and I deserve you to treat me like the God that I am. And David had a heart to do that. And that is amazing, and that is awesome. And that's exactly what we need. David's heart was in harmony with God's heart. Now that is encouraging, because that means that's something you can do and I can do. We can have our heart in harmony with God's heart. If we would just come to the grips with what God wants for us and how God wants us to do that. And David, we find in several different passages of Scripture, and if you download the notes, you can see all the references I have here. I won't take the time to read them all tonight. But David was a man after God's own heart. We read that in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, where it is Paul, I believe it was quoting and telling about David, and he said that he was a man after God's own heart, and he got that from this passage here in Samuel. And also, David was a man who pleased God. David was a man who praised God. He followed God. He was spiritually mature, and David was repentant. That is a key. He was a man who was humble and repentant. And this evening, I want us to notice four facts about David's heart that can help us as a Christian to become a Christian after God's own heart. The first fact I want us to see is this. In his youth, David prepared his heart for God. Now, as a youth, David learned to play his harp and to sing to God. And he played his harp for God's honor. 1 Samuel chapter 16, we're going to be a lot in 1 Samuel. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, just a couple pages over from where you're at there. You can take a look at that, verse number 18. 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 18. When then answered one of the servants and said, "Behold, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war and prudent in matters and comely person, and the Lord is with him." What a description. You know, wouldn't it be interesting if someone was asking for, we're looking for a man. We're looking for a woman. We're looking for someone to fill this gap. And someone speaks up and says, "I know a Christian like that." They are, and they describe this like this: cunning in playing, mighty valiant man, a man of war, prudent in matters, and comely person, and the Lord is with him. What an amazing thing as a testimony. And to have that as a testimony, people could see in young David, even though he's just a shepherd boy out in the field playing his harp, singing to his sheep, and enjoying the outdoors, people knew that God was with him. And that's significant. He was probably only a teenager this time, maybe in his later teens, when he went and Saul was having trouble. Saul had an evil spirit that was troubling him, and he was looking for someone to come and play the harp to calm him down. And so David was called to come into the palace, left his sheep out in the field, came into the palace, and played his harp to calm the heart of Saul. And people knew that God was with him. And then playing, the word playing there refers literally to plucking strings. He was plucking the strings of his harp. And we read in verse 23 of the same chapter, "And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." David plucked the strings and played. Probably sang too. But even the playing of the songs. Harps are so melodious and calming and soothing. And a wonderful thing. And David here was playing the harp. And David also learned to sing to the Lord. Psalm 13 verse 6 said, "I will sing unto the Lord because he had dealt bountifully with me." Singing to the Lord. You can just imagine in your mind, picture David out there in the paddock with his sheep, watching over the sheep. And I don't know how many sheep he had. He may have had hundreds, may have had thousands. I don't know. Some of them had lots of sheep. Probably not thousands, but lots of sheep out there. And David's watching over the sheep and playing his harp and singing along. He had nothing else to do besides just watching the sheep and keeping away the bad critters and playing his harp and singing. And he was singing to the Lord. And he was singing because he loved the Lord. You know, music, the music that you sing, this is a very important statement. The music you sing or listen to when you are alone is a good thermometer of your spiritual temperature. The music you listen to or sing when you are alone is a good thermometer of your spiritual temperature. See, God wants us to sing praise to Him, and it ought to come from our heart. And if we're alone, when we're alone, we sing the world's music. We sing music that is sensual or evil or wicked music. It expresses what's really coming from our heart. And David also learned in his youth to trust God explicitly. We find in 1 Samuel chapter 17, another page over, chapter 17, verse number 37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, 'Go, and the Lord be with thee.'" He was going to face Goliath. And David said, I am not afraid because the God that delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion will deliver me from that big giant. And it was courageous. Now, David was not a little tiny boy like some of the pictures you see. He was probably about 18 or 19 years old at this time. But still, that is courageous for a teenager to be facing a giant that is a man of war and huge in his stature. And David said, I am not afraid because I trust God. God will take care of me. And so David had learned to trust God and had the courage there. And trusting God is staying calm and depending fully on Him during a crisis in our lives. So many times and we react in the wrong way. And it's a struggle sometimes. And, you know, I'm just as guilty as anyone. I remember this week we got a package. We had ordered some supplements and we got the package and it was only half there. And my immediate response was, they didn't give us the whole thing. They charged us for the whole thing, but they only gave us half of it. And then I'm going to go get my camera, take some pictures of this, and I'm out there doing all this stuff, and I'm going to write them an email. I wrote them an email, and you only gave me half of my stuff. And Melody's saying, calm down, it's all right. What I should have done is just got done right then, and Melody and I should have said, all right, let's pray. Ask God to help us, and say, God, you know the situation. Only half the package came. Help us through this. Give us wisdom to know what to do. Keep us calm. Help us to do it right. That's the right response. Shamefully, I didn't handle it the right way. Now, I didn't say anything bad in my email. I handled it diplomatically. But nonetheless, I should have gone to God first and trusted Him instead of trying to fix it all myself. And after I tried to fix it all myself and did everything I could do, then I said, oh, God, I need your help. We need to turn it around and go to God first. And that would be the right way. And so David had learned that in his youth. And when God sent Samuel to anoint David to be the future king, what did he look for? 1 Samuel chapter 16. You're right there. Turn and look at this verse, number 7. This is when Samuel was gone to anoint David to be king. And he said in verse 7, this is God speaking to Samuel, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him, for whom the Lord loveth, for whom the Lord seeth not, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, but man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So Samuel looked at his older brother and says, surely this big strong guy, he must be the one. And God said, no. And he checked the next one, no. And the next one, no. And he went down through the whole list, and there's none of them left. And David's still out in the field taking care of the sheep. And he says, is there anybody else? There must be somebody else. Oh, yeah, the little kid's out in the field. Well, go get him. And God says, that's the one. Because God looks at the heart. And you know, when God looks down at us, He's not interested in our abilities and our talents and our charm or our beauty or our handsomeness or whatever. He's interested in our heart. And David was a man after God's own heart. And that's what God was interested in. And so that's why it applies to all of us. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to be spectacular. You don't have to be beautiful or handsome. You don't have to be talented. You have to have a heart for God. And say, God, I want a heart after you. Oh, that we would seek that. And there's always more to learn. And I've got as much to learn as anybody. But we need to seek that. So the first thing we see here, the first fact about David is that in his youth he prepared his heart to serve God. And then we find, secondly, that in his Psalms, David expressed his heart for God. You read through the Psalms, and the theme that comes out again and again and again and again is praise and worship and song and thanksgiving and trust and honor. Giving to God all the time. David and the Psalms are full of His praise. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 113:3, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. David and his Psalms are abundant with thanks to God. Psalm 69, verse 30, and I will praise the name of God with song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. He also promoted worship. Psalm 95:6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He expressed his love to God in Psalm 18:1. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. And then we find that he shows how he loves the Bible in Psalm 119:97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. You know, as you think about that, what did he just say? He said, Lord, I love your word and I meditated on it all day long. Now, I meditate on the Bible some, but to say I meditated on it all day long would be not true. And yet David wrote this under the inspiration of God. David said, I meditate on your word throughout the whole day. And I love you, and I love your word, and I worship you and I praise you. These things that David said, it just is flowing from his heart. And I'm thinking, David was a man who really, truly loved God. Oh, how we need to love God more. We need that. In David's devotion, we see that. Psalm 63:1. Oh, God, how thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I long for you, God. And you know, that is something each of us can develop. A hunger for God. And a love for God. It's not difficult to praise and worship and rejoice and thank God. That's something all of us can do. And so we can do that just as David did. Number three fact that we can help us is that David, as a leader, practiced his heart for God. We find in Psalm 25:2 that he trusted God during danger. He says, Oh, my God, I trust thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. He was depending upon God during troubles. He depended on the Lord, not on his own abilities. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We're going to trust in God. And David was a man of prayer. 1 Samuel 30, later on in his life. In verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. This was the time when, before he became king, he was a leader of a big band of soldiers, probably 600 or 700 soldiers. And Ziklag had been burned and all of their families had been captured. And they were taken off as captives, as slaves. And they were saying, it's David's fault. Let's kill David. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. Can you imagine the pressure that that would put him on? All of his soldiers, and many of them weren't all the best kind of soldiers. A lot of them were people that were troublemakers, and they just went to David because they couldn't get along with anybody else. And so they're David's soldiers. And they said, let's kill David. It's his fault. All of our families and wives and children and property is stolen. It's David's fault. Let's kill David. What a pressure he must have taken that day. And yet he encouraged himself in the Lord. Great example to us. And David brought the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. The Ark of God had been stolen by the Philistines. And then it was brought back into the land of Israel, but it hadn't made it back to Jerusalem. And so he said, I'm going to bring the Ark of God back to Jerusalem. Why would he want to do that? Why? Because he wanted the symbol of their worship to be in Jerusalem, the Ark of God, where God dwelt on that Ark. He said, I want that to be in Jerusalem. And so he was bringing that Ark back, and it cost him a great deal of effort. He went to great expense. They made an elaborate parade to bring the Ark back. And the first time they came back is when Uzzah touched the Ark and died, and David put the brakes on right there and said, we're not bringing it any closer. Because I got to figure out what's going on. And David then discovered that it was his fault. He had done wrong. He should have carried the ark, had this Levites carry the ark, or priests carry the ark, rather than putting it on a cart. Next time when they brought it in, they did it the right way. Brought it in with singing and rejoicing and excitement. And it was a great time of joy as they brought the Ark of God back. So we see David's heart for God. And all through his life as a king, he had a heart for God. But David was not perfect. But one good thing is that made the difference. You know, and I think this is the most significant part, and that is when we look at David's life and we say, how could God say that he was a man after his own heart when he committed adultery and he committed murder? How could he be called? And here's the key. David was humble and repentant. And David, being far from perfect, he lied, he failed as a father in many ways, he committed adultery, he arranged the murder of Uriah the Hittite, and in pride later on in his life, in pride he numbered the people. And in each one of these times, when he did wrong, God chastened him for it. But what did David do? And each time, he would be brought to his knees before God, and he admitted his guilt, and he confessed his sin, and he humbled himself before God. We read in Psalm 51 of his repentance after he had committed sin with Bathsheba. And he says there in the first three verses, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before thee. And the whole psalm is dedicated to his getting right with God. And that is the key. Yes, he did wrong. And you know, none of us here tonight are sinless. We all do wrong. Now, we haven't maybe done as bad as David did in some of these areas, but we've done wrong. And when we do wrong, we can still have a heart for God if we'll humble ourselves and confess our wrong and ask God forgiveness and ask God for cleansing, and God can cleanse us and draw us near. And David did that. David humbly sorrowed over his sin. Psalm 31, verse number 9, have mercy upon me, O God, or O Lord, for I am troubled. Mine eyes is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. And David also received God's forgiveness. You know, sometimes we ask God forgiveness, but then we act like God didn't forgive us. But David received his forgiveness. We read in Psalm 32, verse 1, David writes, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. That's a good verse for us to remember. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Also, Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. God is a forgiving God. And David accepted his forgiveness. And after repentance, David regained his fellowship with God. He didn't quit. He didn't say, well, I've made a mess of my life. I've done things that are wrong. I guess I'll just have to quit. Go hide in the corner. He didn't do that. He got back up. He faced it. He dealt with it. He humbled himself. He confessed it. And he went on to serve God the best he could. And there were areas where maybe he wasn't able to do exactly what he could have done if he hadn't have done all those things. But God still used him. And God was still able to help him. And, you know, part of having a heart for God is being willing to agree with God when we sin. And if we truly have a heart for God, and we do something wrong, instead of denying it, and we come to God and say, God, I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? God will. And that's what he wants us to do. And we need to remember that God extends his mercy to us at those times. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If we will confess and forsake our sins, God says we can have mercy. That is a blessing. Psalm 86:5, speaking of the Lord, David said, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. God is ready to forgive. And so David had a heart for God. And David's heart was in harmony with God's heart. And therefore, God was able to say he was a man after God's own heart. And we have the same opportunity tonight. Each one of us here who know Jesus as our Savior can have a heart for God. And it can be said of us that we are a man or a woman after God's own heart. It can be said of us if we will do as David did and bring our heart into harmony with God's heart, so that we are seeking the same thing God is seeking. And what was God seeking? God was seeking to be first in our lives. God was seeking to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our life. God was seeking to get the glory and the praise that he deserved. God was seeking to be honored and lifted up and worshiped and feared like he deserved. And God received it from David. And he said, David's a man after my own heart. And if we do the same, God can say the same of us. And so every one of us here, young and old, if we will have a heart for God and say, God, I want you to be first in my life. I want you to be glorified. I want you to be lifted up. I want to give you the praise and the honor and worship in my life, in my the way I act, the way I talk, the things I do. I want you to get all the praise. And if we'll do that, we can be a man or a woman after God's own heart. It's a matter of giving God his rightful place in our lives. We can do that. Now, it's difficult, and we trip, but so did David. And when we do, we get back up, and we apologize to God, and we confess it to God, and we get back and do right. And we can push on, and God can give us the grace. And if you will seek to pattern your life in this way, you can have a heart for God like David had. Let's make it our goal.